This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Assuming that you, like me, came to church today after the horrific events of yesterday, hoping to hear some hopeful word from the Lord, and instead you got to listen to the account of the murder and beheading of John the Baptist. Not particularly hopeful. I have to say it's very hard as the reader of the gospel to say the word of the Lord at the end of that. Nonetheless, that's where we are. The lectionary, at least it presumes at the beginning, seems like it wants us to turn our attention to the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. And yet, the Canadian theologian Douglas John Hall suggests that actually this story in the gospel according to Mark is an interruption of the story that the writer of the gospel according to Mark is actually trying to tell. He says it this way. He says the dramatic character of the story of John the Baptist's death has almost guaranteed it would detract from the primary theological concern of this passage. Although it is little more than a story within the story, this potpourri of sexual lust, seduction, political ambition, scandal, and murder has provided endless inspiration for artists and writers, ancient and modern. Then he begins to list all the pieces of art that are based on this particular story. And he concludes that probably no aspect of the New Testament, apart from the Passion of Christ, has provided greater stimulation for the artistic imagination. So what we have is this interruption in what otherwise is a very concise narrative about what God is doing in the world, about how God is bringing God's kingdom into the world through the person of Jesus, particularly through the life, teaching, arrest, death, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. So I decided I wanted to see if I agreed with him, and I think this might be a useful exercise for us this morning. So I want to invite you to grab the Bible that's in the pew in front of you and turn to the gospel according to Mark. Now, if you have this, we have a couple of different versions of the pew Bible. If you have this one, it begins on page 34 of the New Testament. If it's in the other one, you're on your own. You have to figure it out. Feel free to use your app if you prefer. If you're looking for a good Bible app, Bible Gateway is a good one, and it has all the translations that you can find. So let's look at this, and let's look at it without the story of the beheading of John the Baptist and see if Professor Hall is correct. So beginning, while you're finding the first chapter of Mark so that we're all literally on the same page, remember, it's the shortest gospel. It is very concise. It's urgent. And he has really one story he's trying to tell. Starts with the first chapter with an adult John the Baptist and an adult Jesus meeting in the river for Jesus' baptism. Jesus is then driven into the wilderness for temptation. And he begins his Galilean ministry. He has a small number of disciples who begin to follow him. He casts out spirits. He heals. He preaches. He heals some more. Excuse me. Moving into the second, more healing, more teaching. More people are beginning to follow him. He calls Levi. Then more teaching. And then by the time we get through halfway through the early part of chapter 3, we have a multitude of people who are now following Jesus. They're interested in what he has to say. He appoints the 12. Then the religious authorities catch wind of this, and they immediately try to discredit him, accusing him of being in league with Beelzebub. But then Jesus continues his teaching. Fourth chapter, all teaching, all parables of Jesus talking about the nature of the kingdom of God. And then we move to the fifth chapter, and we have Jesus healing, he confronts a demon, and then he restores the woman who was sick for so long, and he raises a girl from the dead. Now we move to the sixth chapter, where we find ourselves, and we see that Jesus is rejected in his hometown. So all the people that are supposed to know who he is, who have been waiting for the Messiah, who have been listening carefully, seem to be turning a deaf ear. What we're going to hear in just a minute is that very particular thing. They're turning away from him. And so he's been rejected by the people who should know better, and now he's on the radar screen of the political authorities. And that's where our gospel lesson begins today. Right? So it's chapter 6, verse 14, King Herod. So we're listening to King Herod try to figure out who John the Baptist is. Verse 16, Herod remembers it's John the Baptist because I beheaded him. Now, jump from 17 to 30. Leave the story of the beheading of John the Baptist out. What do we have? A feeding of the 5,000 in Hebrew territory, right? So now the crowd is bigger. Jesus is being rejected by the people you should know, but the crowd is getting bigger. The kingdom of God is reaching out into the world, right? Then we have, after that, we have more miracles, more teaching, and then this outsider in chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman who shouldn't know any of this, sees Jesus and knows him. And believes him and has faith. And then here's this story of the healing of a deaf man, a literary device put in the middle of this story to show that ears have been closed. People are not listening. Jesus heals this deaf man. He can hear. And the very next thing is the feeding of the 4,000 of non-Hebrew people, of Gentiles. Right, so do you see the movement of this story? It's getting bigger and bigger. The kingdom of God is going further and further out into the world. This good news is for more and more people. And then the story continues on with more stories of teaching, more healing. In 8, finally, Peter confesses that he thinks he knows who he is. In chapter 9, Jesus is transfigured to confirm what Peter is saying. On it goes. And then finally, here to the end of the gospel, Jesus, more teaching, but then finally arrested, tried, crucified, put to death. And then just because the editor of the gospel according to Mark couldn't stand it, a little tag at the end to talk about the resurrection. Couldn't stand that Jesus just died. A very tight story, a very concise story about the kingdom of God. About what God is doing in the world through the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so Professor Hall suggests, and interrupting that is this story of sin and pain and suffering. Interrupting the movement of the kingdom of God. He never suggested it was an accidental interruption, but it's an interruption nonetheless. And I think it's a really important theological observation to say something here that we know is true, is that God is working out God's purpose in the world. God is unveiling the kingdom of God always, and sin, fear, hate, malice, greed can interrupt what God is doing in the world. It can push in. So we have this theology of us, the theology of the body of Christ, that we can either participate in the coming of the kingdom, join in with God, and share the love, grace, mercy, healing, forgiveness, teachings that Jesus offers, and see the kingdom begin to unfold before us, or we can interrupt it, and we can slow it down. We can make it more difficult. This seems just true to me. Seems true about the way the world works. It seems true about the history of the church. It seems true in my own personal life. I wonder if it's true in yours. That those days when I'm on board with Jesus and I see what Jesus is doing and I agree and I participate, the kingdom of God is clear and obvious. People are fed literally. People are healed literally. Goodness, grace, mercy show up in the world. When I'm not there, when I am afraid, and I am tired, and I become suspicious and accusatory, I can interrupt the kingdom of God, what the kingdom is trying to do, and our sin can pull us off track. But we follow the rest of the story, and we realize that it is not a permanent pull. Because God is still working God's purpose out in the world, always. God is still unveiling the kingdom. And when we participate, it's beautiful. When we interrupt, God finds a new way to bring it around and to bring the kingdom of God from another direction. Last night, the world had a horrific interruption. We as a country had a horrific interruption into a process of how we choose our leaders. It was nearly catastrophic. And maybe it was catastrophic anyway. Now we could say it all began last night, but we all know better than that. This interruption did not start last night. We could say, oh, it's just been in the last 5, 6, 10 years. It's been particularly bad. We know better. Sin and pain and doubt and fear and uncertainty have been interrupting the work of the kingdom since Herod beheaded John the Baptist. So I think it poses a question for us this morning, particularly as the church. What is our response to this? God is working God's purpose out. God is unveiling the kingdom of God as we speak. Shall we participate? Or shall we double down on the interruption? Because I didn't turn on the news this morning, but my hunch is by this evening, there's going to be a whole lot of people doubling down on the interruption. Doubling down on the hate, doubling down on the blame, doubling down on the suspicion. But what about us, the body of Christ? Do we jump in, participate, or do we double down on the kingdom? Do we double down on the teachings of Jesus, where we find no hate? Where we find no suspicion, where we find no malice? Do we double down on those things you promised when you were baptized? Double down on seeking and serving Christ in all persons. Double down on respecting the dignity of every human being, particularly when we disagree. Double down on slowing our roll, listening carefully, listening to one another. Practice it in here, because this is the easy part, friends, so that when we go out there, well, then maybe we become an interruption in the narrative of hate and distrust. Maybe we can interrupt that with the kingdom of God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.